Part 10, Self. One of the most important factors in Christian growth is the Holy Spirit's revelation of the self-life to the believer. Self is the fleshly, carnal life of nature, the life of the first Adam, dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 verse 1, thoroughly corrupt before God, Galatians 5, 19 and 20, the life in which there is no good thing in the sight of God, Romans 7 verse 18. Nowhere do spiritual principles mean more than here. Plato, with his know thyself, was more right than he knew, but still only half right. Paul, with God's not I but Christ, was all right. For one to get beyond just knowing about the Lord Jesus and entering into a consistent and growing personal knowledge of and fellowship with him, one must first come to know oneself. Introspection isn't involved here. The Holy Spirit uses experiential revelation. First, the believer learns, not I. Then he believes, but Christ. First, we know that, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Then, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. John 12, verse 24. Then again, first, always delivered unto death. Then, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 11. In service, it's first, death worketh in us, and then, but life in you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 12. All resurrection life springs out of death, or else it would not be resurrection life, his risen life. Romans 6, verse 5 and 6. We are to yield ourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead. Romans 6, verse 13. For some years now, the evangelistic scene has been dominated by a conversion known as commitment, which often, sad to say, amounts to little more than a spiritual miscarriage. When there is a bit of life, it usually blossoms overnight into full bloom, but soon becomes heavy with fruit of dynamic, radiant personality coupled with busy, rushing service. Well, the tragedy of this sort of thing is that self is at home and thrives in the glow of it all and is rarely found out for what it really is. All is indiscriminate hearts and flowers. The healthy new birth, based on a deep conviction of sin and repentance towards God, starts out clear and strong with love and devotion to the Saviour. But before long, there comes the sickening realization of an element that pulls one back to self-centeredness, to the world, to the rule of law, to sin. This learning by heartbreaking experience of the utter sinfulness and reigning power of self in the everyday Christian life is the means whereby we come to know the Lord Jesus beyond the birth phase as our Saviour, and then on to the growing phase as our Lord and life. To me, to live is Christ. No believer will truly come to know the Lord Jesus as his life until he knows by experience the deadly sin life deep within for what it really is. As a spiritual life conference many years ago, Dr. C.I. Schofield said the following. He said, not everyone by any means has had the experience of the seventh of Romans, Romans chapter 7, that agony of conflict, of desire to do what we cannot do, of longing to do the right, but we find that we cannot do it. It is a great blessing when a person gets into the seventh of Romans and begins to realise the awful conflict of its struggle and defeat, because the first step towards getting out of the struggle of Romans chapter 7 and into the victory of Romans chapter 8 is to get into the seventh chapter. Of all the needy classes of people, the neediest of this earth are not those who are having a heartbreaking, agonising struggle for victory, but those who are having no struggle at all and no victory, and who do not even know it, and who are satisfied and jogging along in a pitiable absence of almost all the possessions that belong to them in Christ. J.C. Metcalfe gives this same fact an added witness by saying the following. Many a young Christian who has not been warned of this necessary voyage of discovery upon which the Holy Spirit will certainly embark him, that is Romans chapter 7, has been plunged almost into an incurable despair at the sight of the sinfulness which is his by nature. He has in the first place rejoiced greatly for the forgiveness of his sins and his acceptance by God. But sooner or later he begins to realise that all is not well and that he has failed and fallen from the high standard which he set himself to reach in the first flush of his conversion. He begins to know something of the experience which Paul so graphically describes in Romans 7 verse 15. What I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do, writes Paul. And in consequence, he feels that the bottom has fallen out of his Christian life. And then perhaps the devil whispers to him that, well, it's just no good him going on, because he will never be able to make the grade. Little does he know how healthy his condition is, and that this shattering discovery is but the prelude to a magnificent series of further discoveries of things which God has expressly designed for his eternal enrichment. All through life, God has to show us our utter sinfulness and need before he is able to lead us on into realms of grace in which we shall glimpse his glory. Self-revelation precedes divine revelation. That is the principle for both the spiritual birth and spiritual growth. The believer who is going through struggle and failure is the Christian who is being carefully and lovingly handled by his Lord in a very personal way. He is being taken through the experience, years in extent, through the experience of self-revelation and into death. The only basis upon which to know him, that's Jesus, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3 verse 10. God works by paradox. Success comes via failure. Life springs out of death and so on. The only element in the believer's life that crumbles is that which has to go away. The new life can never be harmed or affected. This disintegration is something the believer cannot enter into nor engineer on his own. Self will never cast out self. He has to be led into it by the mercy of the Holy Spirit, led into failure, abject and total failure. In 2 Corinthians 4:11, we read, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." So often, the means utilised by the Spirit is an unsaved mate, or even a saved one, or poor health, yes, or good health too. 1,001 things are used by him. In fact, he uses everything. Romans 8, 28 and 29. He uses everything to bring out the worst in us, ultimately enabling us to see that the Christian life has to be not I, but Christ. People, circumstances and so on are never the cause of failure. Self's reaction to them is the cause. And the one problem to be dealt with, it's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord. Many of us have probably known what it was to rejoice in the grace of God without having apprehended very much the true character of the flesh. It's often been noted that where there is the greatest exuberance of joy in the young convert, there is often a levity which fails to take into account that the flesh is unchanged. In such cases, the grace of God is taken up in a self-confident way. There is very little self-distrust or sense of weakness and dependence. And the inevitable consequence is a fall, or a succession of falls that gradually brings home to the consciences of believers their utter weakness and incapacity in the flesh. Evan Hopkins shares some important light on our subject. He writes, "How infinite are the forms in which self appears. Some are occupied with good self. They pride themselves on their excellences. Others are just as much occupied with the bad self. They are forever groaning over their imperfections and struggling with the flesh as if they hope in time to improve it. When shall we be convinced that it is so utterly bad that it is beyond recovery? Our experience upward in the power of God is just in proportion to our experience downward in ceasing from self." What does Romans 6 verse 11 say? Is it, reckon yourself to be weak in reference to sin? No. Is it lower than that? Well, yes, it is. Is it, reckon yourself to be dying? No, it's lower still. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Some believe they are very weak. But what does that imply? It implies that they have some strength. But when a man is dead, he has no strength at all. We must act on the fact that we are dead in reference to sin. We shall not then speak of difficulty as to resisting temptation in reference to ourselves. We shall take the lowest place and say that it is impossible. But we shall know that what is impossible with self is possible with God. We shall take our place on the resurrection side of the cross. And in so doing, we leave behind the old self for the new Christ life. To live in him who is our life is to be in the power of God. Someone has rightly said that there are many separated from the world Christians who are not separated from themselves Christians.